Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
He inspires small business.
We can teach these barbarians a lesson in Western methods and efficiency that will put them to shame.
He tells it like it is.
I realize how difficult it's going to be in this godforsaken place where you can't find what you need. And there's the challenge.
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
With all due respect, sir, I believe this is going to be our finest hour.
Welcome back. It's 34 after the hour. Thanks very much for joining me today. Thanks for hanging around with me. We got Andrew Sherman with us, ladies and gentlemen. Andrew is a longtime member of our Brain Trust. He is an attorney. As I said earlier, we love him anyway. He is one of the smartest guys I know when it comes to growing and capitalizing your business. He actually has written a number of books on that very thing, including running and growing your business, including raising capital. He is the world's authority on franchising and licensing. He wrote the book that is the Bible on that topic. And he's the principal and the founder of an exciting new organization called, it's not all that new, I guess now, Grow Fast, Grow Right. But more importantly, he's our good friend. Andrew, welcome back to the show.
Thank you, Jim. Although I got to tell you, my feathers are a little still ruffled from a few minutes ago.
Why's that?
Well, you know, I could catch the tail end of your last guest, and your comment about me and setting it up was, he's pretty good.
I said you were a pretty good cat, too.
Yeah, I feel like, I remember the days when I was being referred to as great or excellent. You know, I'm down to pretty good. I don't even know if I'll be invited back now.
Well, you did snub me the other day at the SBDC conference, so.
You know, we don't want to use up too much airtime talking about that when you were a man on a mission.
Andrew, good to have you back.
Great to be back.
Where is GFGR? Where's Grow Fast, Grow Right? How's it going?
It's going fantastic. You had made mention of innovation, and one of the things that we've been really focusing on is some of our on-site corporate training programs in addition to the seminars. And as you know, Grow Fast, Grow Right is an outgrowth of the writing and teaching and books that I've written. And it's focused on three primary buckets, human capital, intellectual capital, and financial capital, as the three pillars for business growth, whether the company is small and rapidly growing or mid-sized or more established. What we're finding as a result of the seminars is that companies are looking for on-site follow-on training programs that can help them achieve a particular objective. And the objective that everybody seems to be talking about, picking up on our intellectual capital leveraging and harvesting themes, is the topic of innovation and entrepreneurship. And how do we make our companies more productive? How do we better harvest our company's intellectual capital? And, you know, this is a topic that is the buzz around Washington right now. You know, in the President's State of the Union, he mentioned innovation multiple times. The Secretary of Commerce has made innovation his top priority, and a number of the trade associations and professional societies are responding. I just came back yesterday from a major innovation conference for the American Society of Mechanical Engineers, and I thought, well, that ought to be the theme of our discussion this morning.
Well, I agree, and I'm glad you said that. Andrew, the SBA says that small business in America produce over 55% of the innovation in this country. And so if you believe that, then, and if you understand the nature of small business across America, and you realize that the typical small business doesn't even think of themselves as being a wellspring of innovation. It's many small businesses are innovating like crazy. They just don't think about it because they think it's just what they do. If we could get small businesses to really think about the innovative wellspring that they are, there's no telling what I don't even think this country has even come close to tapping the innovative ability that we have. What do you think?
You raised a lot of hot buttons for me, so let's hit on a few of them if we can before the break. One of them is the role that small and growing companies play in innovation. When I talk about this topic to entrepreneurs, at first they look at me like I'm nuts, like, well, wait a second, that's not a topic we need to worry about. We'll leave that to the IBMs and 3Ms and, mm-hmm. and big companies of the world. And so your observation, which is critical about the 55% number and the importance of innovation, is something that we need to help communicate to America's small and growing business community, which is, number one, you do play a big role in innovation overall, and so this is not the time to have your head in the sand. But more importantly, number two, and this is the thing I really want to focus on, is innovation is critical to survival, and you can't, you know, if you're listening yep. They show you cannot assume that just because you're small, you don't need to innovate. And that's what concerns me. It's the 45% that aren't innovating.
Exactly.
I fear for their lives.
Well, and I'll tell you something else. I would say to your friend who says, you know, let's leave it to IBM and those guys. The companies like IBM are innovating like crazy. But you know what else they're doing these days that they might not have done 30 years ago? They're looking for small business innovators to be their partners. And that's Thanks. What's exciting to me in the 21st century. Andrew Sherman is our guest. I'm Jim Blassingame. I'm your host. Don't go away. We'll be right back. Can you tell me?
The pain of night, the cuts of bad, the searing night, burning like a beacon on the edges of our sight. At the border of total darkness, and the light's divine, divine.
Welcome back. It's 17 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and my website is www.smallbusinessadvocate.com. I hope you subscribe to my free newsletter when you get there, and don't forget to check out our blog and all the other resources that are there, including dozens and dozens of interviews. Archived interviews of conversations that Andrew and I have had in the last several years. Andrew Sherman, who's our guest this half hour. Andrew, how many books have you written on small business and innovation and franchising?
We've got number 15 coming out this fall. The book is called Grow Fast, Grow Right. It's part of a three-book series that Kaplan is doing on our three programs, which is Grow Fast, Grow Right, Build Fast, Build Right, and Start Fast, Start Right.
It's a force, ladies and gentlemen. And we have bookshelves around here for everyone's books, except in Andrew's case, we have a wheelbarrow. And Andrew, give us that website.
I hope that's not because you're taking them out to the dumpster.
No, it's just so I can carry them back and forth to the studio. Give us the website, please.
It's www.growfastgrowright.com, and also definitely check out www.dicksteinshapiro.com,
right.
Which is
that's
our practice law.
Your law firm, that's where your office is. Andrew, one of the things that I've been doing for a long time, I mean like since I've been doing the radio show, is trying to get small business owners to understand that they are creating and therefore they own and therefore are leveraging intellectual property, intellectual capital, intellectual assets. And from those springs innovation. And I think it's important to talk about innovation, but innovation is the product of the leveraging of our intellectual journey, our intellectual capital. And so I think for small businesses, a coach would say to a freshman ball team, you know, this is a football. Innovation is what is important to talk about, but I think we got to, maybe for some folks, we got to go back a little further than that. What do you think?
I think you're right. One of the things that we've been working on in our training programs with companies is actually the issue you just raised, which is which comes first? You know, what is the chicken and the egg? Do you get intellectual capital first and then you have to be innovative in how you leverage it, otherwise it goes to waste, which is definitely one position and something that I see all the time? Or do you have to go even back further, even deeper into the roots of the organization and start asking yourself questions about how productive is this company? How creative is this company? Have we even created a set of conditions and a culture that mm-hmm. will foster innovation? And what we're finding, particularly as you get to some of the middle market companies that started small but now may be at 20 or 50 or 100 million in revenues, which is still pretty small by our standards. They're not exactly a billion-dollar conglomerate yet. These companies have fallen into traps Yep. Traps that no longer allow them to even be creative at the very roots of creating intellectual capital or being innovative. And when that happens, it's a serious issue that is not just a strategy issue, but now it's an HR issue. There's mm-hmm. a number of variables that would lead to a company not being able to innovate and not having the core in place.
Well, and you mentioned the HR element. It happens. It actually affects it two ways. Number one is your ability. You know, who do you hire? Are you going to hire somebody who's creative and is innovative? If you do, you're going to hire. And if you don't allow them to flex those desires and those opportunities, then you're going to lose those people. And so now, then you get you've got a problem with keeping good people. And
are you, you know, some people aren't even making creativity one of the benchmarks that they look at when they're hiring people. They don't even know how to begin asking the questions.
That's exactly right. And I like the fact that you said that about the culture of the company. And it's not just middle companies. And you know, I work with a lot of large companies, and a lot of them that I don't actually do business with, I call on them, you know, as you do. We both do. We're in their offices. And I see a lot of big businesses that make me say, is big business where creativity goes to die?
Oh, Jim, we've done a lot of shows together, and that's a classic, man. You better write that one on a rock.
Well, I don't want to, you know. And let me say this, folks: the companies I do business with aren't like that because I don't do business with people like that.
I see that as the headline of this Sunday's newsletter with a little excerpts from our show this morning. That's what I see.
Well, what do you think?
Well, I think you're on to something, and I think it's one of the things that we're trying to get across in the training programs has been you got to go deep, all the way deep back to the roots of the organization, and if there's not a fostering of creativity and a recruitment of creative people, you know, I've developed this 12-point quiz getting people to think about whether they're even creative in the first place, because how could you possibly have innovation? How could you possibly create intellectual capital if the people who are in charge of creating something are not creative?
Right.
And, you know, I don't mean to get philosophical with you early in the morning, but that's really at the root, at the core of the
organization. Everybody out there is not predisposed to being creative. And you've got to have creative people if you're going to have creativity. When we come back, I'm going to get Andrew to help us understand what's the ROI for creativity in your business. 10 till, I'm Jim Blassingame. Stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back. It's 7 till. There's that little band from Texas. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we're visiting with our good friend Andrew Sherman, the author of Raising Capital, the author of Franchising and Licensing. Third edition now, Andrew, is that right on that one?
Right. Third edition.
And that means it's a good one, folks. And then Running and Growing Your Business, plus a bunch of new ones. When are the three new ones coming out?
The three new ones coming out are going to be published by Kaplan, and they're based on the series of our training programs. Grow Fast, Grow Right will be out this fall, and I just submitted to the publisher Build Fast, Build Right for companies in the $1 to $5 million in sales range. And then we've got Start Fast, Start Right for early-stage companies coming out later next year.
You should have done that one first.
Yeah, well...
I expect you to launch the first one on this show.
Oh, absolutely. It'll be out in about a month, month and a half, and you know you'll be the first person I talk to.
Got
to
do that. Okay, give us the – you've got a few other little things you want to say about innovation, but blend into your last thoughts, Andrew, the ROI for small business. What's in it for them?
Well, the ROI for small business, and this is one of the hot topics, the conference that I attended for ASME, the theme was measuring innovation. In other words, develop, we can't just innovate if it's not going to eventually translate into shareholder value. And so there was a lot of talk, and maybe we can talk about it more on a future show, about how do you go about measuring innovation. If you're a small company with limited resources, and you believe what we've been talking about this morning, that you need to innovate and you're going to allocate dollars towards innovation, then at some point you have to be able to show your fellow shareholders or your spouse or your employees that that money was well spent. And so at some point it does have to translate into shareholder value. Don't get caught up in what we call inventor's syndrome, where you're constantly building a better mouse box, but the customer doesn't care. So those are some of the ways to look at ROI is, at what point have you built more loyal customers? At what point have you built better profit margins? Have you built a more loyal distribution channel? These are some of the metrics that companies use to determine whether the innovation that they're putting resources behind is worthwhile.
For a small business, for a lot of small businesses out there, innovation could be as simple as redesigning the delivery route so I can save money on gasoline.
Well, that's very important that you raise that, because one of the things that many small business owners probably are getting caught up in is product innovation. And the truth is, there's a lot more things about their company where they could be innovative. It doesn't have to be product-driven.
It doesn't have to be a patent or anything like that.
Well, it doesn't even have to be a product. It could be business model innovation.
Right.
It could be innovation, like you said, in their delivery routes. Whatever it is, it's causing some net effect on the value of the enterprise, which is what the critical component is.
And what I'm trying to do, what I've been trying to do for a long time now, is get small business owners to realize that when they scratch their head and start figuring something out, ladies and gentlemen, you're creating intellectual capital.
That's right.
You can call it innovation if you want to, and I think it is an innovation if once you actually make it a practical application, a business practice, then it becomes innovation. But before that, it's intellectual capital that you're leveraging, and I just think, Andrew, that's the wellspring, and I think that's where small business owners need to really begin. I mean, that's the seed of all the things that you're talking about.
Yeah, and they also have to understand that once that innovation has been documented and a business model's been developed, that in fact they may have developed protectable intellectual property.
Exactly.
That's where it comes time to make sure they sit with good counsel, get everything protected, and position themselves for partnering or licensing, because that's probably the way that they're going to get the thing to the marketplace if they're a smaller enterprise.
And it might be the birth of a franchise opportunity.
It very well could be. Many of our country's franchisors, and this is what got me interested in this topic 15, 20 years ago, is I looked at franchising kind of metaphysically and holistically and said, what is franchising at its roots? It's not a cheeseburger or a better way to clean your gutters. What it is at its roots is intellectual capital leverage.
Mm-hmm.
It's the taking of brands and trade secrets and systems and processes and operations manuals and building business growth models around it.
And scaling it outward. Andrew, we got to wrap it up. Give us the website one more time.
www.growfastgrowright.com and www.dicksteinshapiro.com.
Andrew, thanks for being here. Good job today. Looking forward to launching that new book.
Absolutely, Jim.
Check it out when you get a chance, all these websites, folks. Got to go for this hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and I'll be back on the other side of the news. Don't go away.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.